This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 5:06 and this is the evening edition with Lynn, and we're starting off today with something that we've seen a few times during this pandemic, and that is the gaps between the federal and state governments when it comes to coordination. And this is something that's been coming up in the Health DG's COVID-19 briefing, actually, with a few people asking this question, because Tan Sri Dr. Nur Hisham Abdullah was queried as to why the Health Ministry isn't sharing raw data on the virus with Selangor's Task Force for COVID-19. And he responded that they're sharing only processed data for better coordination. His reasoning there is that if both parties are interpreting them, then there could be conflicting info in terms of what gets relayed to the public. Now, previously, the chairperson of the task force and Kuala Selangor MP, Datuk Sri Dr. Zulkifli Ahmad, he had complained about this in Malaysia Kini. And he claimed that Selangor is fighting the virus in the dark because MOH had stopped sharing granular data. So we decided that we should check in with Dr. Zulkifli and ask him why they need access to such data in order to ensure better coordination between federal and state governments. And here is what he had to say.
Well, it's very unfortunate that there's some sort of a misunderstanding here. What we meant by when we say granular data, or granular or raw data, it is all about what is called a part of a case line listing, you know, that pertains to the person or case epidemiologically. By way of what is meant by that is, you know, where did he contract the virus, the time, you know, the onset of, you know, what age group, you know, location of incidences, and that, you know, the workplace or date on diagnosis or even onset of symptoms, whether it's related to clusters or any kind of event. So it is really not about a patient per se. It is not about patient identity at all. I think this must be made to be, I must say it in no uncertain terms. There's nothing to do with, you know, intruding on personal data privacy and confidentiality. It has all along been given to us, and we have been, you know, we have been getting it from JK, from State Health Department before, and suddenly we do not get it anymore. Yeah, we understand that it's not, we know what we're asking for. We know that it's nothing infringing on data protection.
So he also gave his views on the remarks from the Director General of Health, specifically how states aren't empowered to conduct public health intervention and surveillance, but should instead or are instead supposed to focus on public health awareness.
Oh my God. This is again a kind of a misunderstanding, because we know very well that there is a common misconception that health is an exclusive federal prerogative, you know. But may I remind you and all that, you know, health appears as a concurrent list in item 7, that public health and prevention of diseases is a concurrent federal state prerogative and responsibilities. So to be more specific, in managing infectious diseases like dengue, for that matter, the state government, by way of our, you know, local government, by way of the municipality, they, for example, you know, we do fogging, we do, you know, all kind of intervention. And COVID is another infectious disease, more, you know, it's an outbreak, it's an epidemic, it's a pandemic, it's a global thing now. But again, you know, we are more than provided for by the Constitution, federal Constitution, because this is it's in the concurrent list. And this is, you know, what we believe in. And we have been doing it, you know. By the way, just not public health, but not only just on awareness, but as well on public health information. And the fact that, you know, this idea, this notion of whole of government, whole of society, isn't it better that we all get to be responsible and galvanized of our resources, personnel and expertise as well? Because all the more that when you have the expertise, you know, we would want to contribute. And it must be seen positive. And it's nothing like, you know, being, you know, jealously guarding your terrain, my domain or whatever. it's very extremely unfortunate that this has happened this way. And in the light of managing outbreaks, epidemic and whatnot, particularly on infectious diseases, I think it's all the more reason why we must galvanize our, you know, both public, private, state government. There's got to be some form of decentralization in this, you know, to empower and strengthen further our health facilities and public health, you know, ability and capacity. So don't you think that would be the better way to go forward, to have whole of society, whole of government approach, federal, state, and as well whole of society, even the public-private collaborations, you know, to right down to the gatekeeper of our GPs, private GPs and whatnot. I think that's a positive way forward.
So that was Datuk Sri Dr. Zulkifli Ahmad, the chairperson of the Selangor Task Force for COVID-19 and, of course, also MP for Kuala Selangor. And that speaks to this desire, I guess, from the task force to have more information at hand. And it also points to, I think, this issue that we're trying to get at, which is coordination between the federal and state governments on matters of policy in general, but also specifically looking at COVID-19 in this instance. What are your thoughts on this? You know, would you rather see efforts decentralized? Would you rather have states be more empowered to fight COVID-19? Or would you like to have a central form of communication and having everything be held by the federal government? Let us know. You can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. After this, we're going to be speaking with Tricia Yeo, who is the CEO at the Institute for Democracy and Economic Affairs. That's IDEAS. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Brainy, fancy material. BFM 89.9.
It's just about 5:15 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn, and we're talking today about coordination between the federal and state governments, especially when it comes to COVID-19, and also asking you whether you would like to see efforts to contain and combat COVID-19 be more centralised or decentralised, right? Would you like state governments to be more empowered, have more information, or is this current way better, where you have, you know, one central form of the data being processed, passing through and disseminated? You can let us know your thoughts. Call us at 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. And we're crossing over to Tricia Yeo, CEO at the Institute for Democracy and Economic Affairs, that's IDEAS. Tricia, thank you so much for joining us. Now, under normal circumstances, how clearly divided are the roles between the federal and state governments, especially when it comes to health?
So the constitution, the federal constitution of Malaysia, is what spells out the jurisdiction between the federal, state, and as well as local government. So we have three tiers of government, right? And the ninth schedule is what spells out the jurisdiction between the federal and state government specifically. So there are three different lists. There is the federal list, there's the concurrent list, and the state list. So the concurrent list is where the federal and state governments have a shared jurisdiction over. So when it comes to public health and sanitation actually come under the concurrent list, which means that it's supposed to be both federal and state together making those decisions. Having said that, though, because, you know, all public hospitals, it is only a federally controlled matter, which means that, you know, when it comes to public hospitals, public clinics, the Klinik Kesihatan, at the moment, all of that is controlled by the Ministry of Health at the federal level. So that's where the public health and sanitation part of it gets a little bit vague. And especially when it comes to like a pandemic, especially, right? Because the legislation on the Infectious Diseases Act that controls what is currently known as the COVID-19, that is a federal legislation. But at the same time, local governments, which come under the state government, they are empowered by the Local Government Act to also have some say over public health and sanitation matters. So I think it's important to understand that there are different pieces of documents and different legislations that one needs to refer to when understanding which level of government controls what.
And how has coordination historically looked like between Putrajaya and state governments on public health? You know, and I'm thinking here of whether there are examples, for instance, with dengue.
So when it comes to coordination between Putrajaya and state governments on public health, Actually, the public health like officers. So, for instance, you have state health officers, right, that actually come under the Ministry of Health. And strictly speaking, the state government has no say over health at all. So even if there is a state exco in charge of health-related matters, the only thing that possibly the state governments traditionally can do is to spend on health-related matters. So, you know, they can spend on perhaps like kidney dialysis centers. They can provide, like what the Selangor and I think and the Penang government have done, is to provide like a health card for those within the poorest communities and the B40. But when it comes to, you know, influencing policy and implementation of public health care, state governments traditionally do not get involved. However, having said that, I think when there is sort of national crisis, like dengue and like COVID, there has had to be some more coordination for national interest. And the coordination takes place a little bit outside of the sphere of what the legislation controls. So this really depends very much on the nature of the government. So if the state government is ruled by a political coalition that's aligned with the federal government, in those cases, it's most likely that coordination takes place in a bit better and a smoother way. When it comes to state governments that are controlled by the political coalitions not aligned with the federal government, that typically is when there is a bit more disarray and lack of coordination, as we are actually seeing today.
Right. So who then gets to decide whether to set up a state-level task force in times of crisis such as this?
The state government itself has like complete say over what it wants to do. So the states can set up its own task force, and they have set up these many task forces all across the country, and it's a very interesting time to see how the various state governments have reacted with a lot of leadership, actually. So they've not just set up task forces, they set up their own apps, they set up their own, you know, updating mechanisms. Some of them set up their own websites to ensure that they are also telling their communities the information, and some of them, they channel the information from federal government. So I think it's really been an interesting time to see how state governments are taking action into their own hands. I mean, some of them are cooperating quite well with the federal government, and some of them are not, depending on their political affiliation. But I think following from this experience, it will be interesting to see whether the states will continue having more leadership and authority over not just public health, but other areas as well. It will be a test of, you know, federalism as a system. It will be a test of our legal constitutional framework as well.
And how is the jurisdiction of a state-level task force determined?
The jurisdiction of a state task force, well, I think it's very clear. I mean, the task force only has as much jurisdiction as the borders of the state are concerned. So they would be only be able to monitor what's happening within their own state. They will not be able to, for instance, make decisions over what the Ministry of Health is determining from the center. They will not be able to infringe upon those decisions. Any conflicting decision-making will result in the federal government's decision ruling over the states. So I think what the state government can do and has done is that they just merely provide sort of like complementary services over and beyond what the federal government has. And not forgetting what the state governments have done, which is also to pass their own economic stimulus packages within the state legislative assemblies. And these stimulus packages are essentially in the form of cash aid and assistance that they have then sent on to the, you know, respective communities, whether they were medical workers or vulnerable communities or otherwise.
And so far, have our efforts at handling the pandemic shown a greater need to centralise or decentralise our public health system?
Yeah, no, I think it is. So on the one hand, I would say that the government has done very well in handling the pandemic. But I think that there are definitely cracks in the system which tell us that decentralizing some parts of the public healthcare system could actually work. So this is where, some of the state governments were not consulted with regards to some major decisions that were taking place at the national level. And I can name you several instances of those, right? So in the very beginning, when the National Action Council was meeting for the very first time to address the pandemic, some of the chief ministers of the opposition-led states were not included into that meeting. So that's one. And then the second instance is when the government wanted to open up the economy and they announced it only 3 days before the economy was actually reopened. If I believe correctly, it was on the 1st of May. And even that, the consultation did not meaningfully take place with all of the state governments. And so some of them, 9 out of the 13 states, actually chose to not comply immediately. Eventually, they did. But in the first instance, they chose not to comply because I think they were not consulted meaningfully. And some of these states were including the Perikatan National State, so that was actually quite surprising. And then, of course, the third instance is when the most recent case is when the government decided to have a CMCO, the Controlled Movement Control Order, within first Klang, and then later on in Selangor, Kuala Lumpur and Putrajaya. I believe that the state government was not consulted as well, which is very surprising given that it's actually taking place within the state of Selangor. And of course, this latest incident in which it has been reportedly said that the federal government's Ministry of Health has stopped sharing some of the data in relation to the COVID-19 patients, and this data used to be previously shared with the Selangor government. But of course, again, this is reported and I would need to verify whether or not that is the case.
And could you also talk then about the potential benefits of further decentralization in this instance?
So I think decentralizing health services works on a number of ways because, number one, the state and the local governments are closer to the issue at hand. So they know what's happening on the ground. They know what the specific needs of that particular community would be. So they are in a better position and are much more well-suited to decide whether, this particular area is safe to be opened up, because there really are no cases. In this area, perhaps there needs to be a little bit more opening up because the industry and the small traders and the industry, really requires it. And secondly, I think what's also important is not just for during the times of pandemic, but the clinics, the community clinics, those can very well be managed by either local or state governments. There is no real need for community clinics to be controlled only from Putrajaya alone. So those are the two reasons, the two immediate reasons I can see. And the third, of course, is that the state and local governments could also coordinate with civil society and NGOs that are willing to provide help when they need it.
And do you think there are areas outside of health where states should be given more jurisdiction, especially in a time of crisis?
During a time of crisis, well, if the federal government could actually permit the state government to make certain decisions over which kinds of shops are allowed to open. So bearing in mind that actually local governments are the ones that license small businesses, and they actually have also the ability to shut down shops and your little mini marts. They are the ones that regulate the opening hours of your pasars, your pasar tani, your mom and pop shops. So that seems to be conveniently forgotten during this time, that in fact local governments are the ones that provide those licenses. So other things that can be given jurisdiction, I think in the first instance they should respect that already state and local governments do have some say over this. And secondly, they could provide a bit more recognition to the role that they can play over and beyond existing legislation. So whether that comes in the form of being able to make decisions over operating hours and even schools, I mean, that might be an interesting thing to test. And again, education is one of those areas that the federal government has complete say over. And if there's a little bit more decentralization where the state and local governments can collectively decide on whether particular schools or, let's say, you know, small community schools, maybe private schools, homeschool centers, tuition centers, whether these could be actually decided upon at the local level as opposed to having it centrally determined. I mean, these are just like interesting questions to ask. I think it's not a final decision, but I think the questions need to be asked whether or not all the decisions need to be made from Putrajaya alone.
Tricia, thank you so much for speaking with us. That was Tricia Yeo, CEO at the Institute for Democracy and Economic Affairs, or IDEAS, talking really about coordination between federal and state governments, particularly what we're seeing right now in terms of COVID-19, but also looking at this idea of whether or not it perhaps should be decentralized. Will we benefit from that? Let us know if you where you land on this, right? Do you think that state governments need to have more empowerment to deal with issues in times of crisis? You can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.